Welcome to Art World. Today we are talking with Eamon Kianga, a UX designer, lecturer, and PhD student with a unique focus on accessibility for Kenya's deaf community. Eamon's journey has taken him from Kenya to Germany and back, leading him to create digital solutions that make everyday experiences more inclusive. In this episode, he shares his approach to learning Kenyan Sign Language and his vision for accessible design that brings people together. Let's dive in and explore Eamon's inspiring mission.
Good evening and welcome to the Art Worlds podcast. I'm your host, Kenyatta, and I'm here today with Mr. Eamon Kianga Gwaru, a UX designer, an art director, and a tutorial fellow at the Technical University of Kenya. First, I'll ask you, would you prefer a hot sunny day or a cold rainy day?
There's a hot sunny day that will just give you sunburns, crazy ones.
Yeah, true.
And there are rainy days that you pray for. Well, I don't know, it's difficult. The context is missing there. I'm very poor at yes, no questions sometimes, okay. Especially when they lack context.
Okay, yeah. I'll ask you another one.
Okay.
What's your favorite music genre?
I don't have one. I listen to different things at different times. So it depends on the mood. I can listen to quite a wide range of different things. From Zilizopendwa to the newest music that just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the mood, really.
Okay. It's your time to tell us about yourself. Who is Eamon Kianga? How would you describe yourself to a complete stranger?
Describing yourself is one of the most taxing, difficult things to do. I'm just here. But, well, I am just somebody who likes to learn from life. I like good experiences, and what I categorize as a good experience is where I apply myself and where I learn something.
I saw that you did your master's in Germany. In Augsburg.
Yeah.
If I pronounce it right.
Yeah.
How would you compare your campus life here and in Germany?
When you're in a different place to study or to do some specific task, it's not the only thing you do there. You sleep there, you shower there, you eat there, you meet people there, and you have to just be in that moment. If you're somewhere, just be there 100%. Don't be half there and half not there. I remember visiting a friend who was Spanish, and her room was just nice, you know. She had pictures of her family, her pet. You know, the whole room was homely. It felt very human. And mine had just my bed and everything tucked away. And it looked like I was moving out the whole time. And that really changed me. So yeah, if there's something I would have done different, is I would have just embraced Germany 100%. Maybe gotten some pictures and printed them and put it on the wall and make it feel like home. When you're not home, wherever you are, that's your home. For 2 weeks, for 2 days, for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Just be alive to it. Be comfortable. Then there was the whole issue of a different language. The language of instruction for my program was English, but the English ends when the class ends. So you have to step out on the street, you have to buy groceries, you have to, you know, interact with people. And there you need a bit of comprehension of the German language. There's just something endearing when you speak to someone in their language. Something changes. They light up. They become very friendly that way. You don't have to speak it very fluently. But if you show a bit of interest, if they see that you're trying, they appreciate that and they become very friendly.
Now to the local stuff. You have appeared on a post by Blaze. So on that post you said, okay, let me quote it. If I do a job, money is never a factor for quality.
If you're chasing money, then you lose sight of the value that you're being called upon to give.
Right now, is it still a factor? Do you still put quality first? Or is it a matter of you paid for this, so I'll give you exactly this or less?
Quality is a lifestyle. It's not something you do. It's something you are. When I'm doing my own personal projects or even teaching, my approach is usually to do something for someone that I would actually pay for to be done for me. So that's my approach, really.
just to jog your memory,
mm-hmm.
he appeared on Blaze twice. There's yet another quote. He said, "Don't be selfish. Share what you know with other creatives. That way, you get inspired in different ways." Is that what pushed you to become a lecturer? That urge to share your knowledge with other people?
Growing up, I wanted to become, just like every boy, a pilot. Every boy just wants to be up in the sky looking at tiny people. But sometimes these things, we say them as children because we've had them. We've not really done our own soul searching. Life happens, and sometimes you understand life backwards. You don't understand it now, but in the future you'll understand what you're doing now. I didn't know that I could become a lecturer. I didn't set out to become one.
Yeah.
But as life happened, I realized I actually could do it. And not just do it, I really had a good time doing it. Sometimes you discover these things as you go and you embrace them and you now start working on them. I just found out that I could actually do teaching and enjoy it because I like design and I like also sharing. I like hearing what other people are working on and trying to see a way that I could use that in my own projects, in my own process. And yeah, I ended up here and I like it. If you asked me this when I was 10 years old, I would say, never ever.
Okay, now let's go into matters of your project, your PhD. So it's about developing a digital solution for Kenyan Sign Language learning and interpretation. Can you tell us more about that? Like what the project exactly is about?
I'm just in the very, very beginning stages. It's been an interesting journey to get here because I needed to get a project that's feels right in terms of what I believe in. I believe in knowledge that makes the world a better place. So coming up with a project idea that leans to those outcomes was not easy. Getting on to a PhD program, it's a marathon. It's a long thing. And it's something that has the potential to define your career. It's that serious. I wanted to pick a topic that would reflect my values. I would like to research and talk to people and find out what are the challenges that people who are deaf are going through in their daily life. And as a designer, what solutions can you afford them? Can you offer them? A lot of information nowadays is shared in audiovisual format. You know, it's videos on TikTok, it's tutorials on YouTube. All this information has the potential to help these people economically, but they don't access it. If you watch your regular media, the only thing that's translated is news. But what about other things? What about talk shows on radio? They are very big in Kenya, these talk shows. And we have all this entertaining content that needs to find a space in their life as well. I mean, we cannot just be giving them the news exclusively. What about every other facet of communication that we experience every day? I'm hoping that this research can lead into finding solutions of getting information more accessible to the deaf community, making them also contribute to the conversation, to what we read and here. They also have their own stories, but they can't call up Gideon a ghost in the morning and entertain the whole country. Digital is a good platform to start with, but in the end, I don't know, maybe the solution might be both digital and analog. I don't know. I'm in it to find out, I guess.
Have you started learning the sign language yet?
Yes, I've actually finished my level one of Kenya Sign Language. I'm just waiting for my certificate to come out. Maybe late next year, I can sign up for level two. Between now and then, I'll just maybe practice a lot and try and be more fluent. So between now and then, it's meeting deaf people and interacting and just keeping that sign language flowing.
How important is it to actually do that? Like, how important is it for you to
learn sign language for this project? Mm-hmm. What is the significance of what you're doing right now?
Learning sign language is kind of writing yourself an invitation letter to join the community. It's showing them that you're for real. You're not just coming around and taking their information. It's showing real interest in this community, trying to connect with people. Nelson Mandela said, when you speak to someone in a foreign language, then you communicate to their brain. But when you speak in their native language, you speak to their heart. So learning sign language is a necessity for me, I think.
So can you give us an overview of some of the main features of this tool and how it's going to work? I know it's in the early stages and you haven't gotten right into the details.
The whole point of doing a PhD is to go into the research and let the research inform the solutions. For now, I'm just saying the solution can be found and it can be digital, but I will let the research dictate what kind of solution would be best. Maybe the solution is not digital, I don't know. But what I'm envisioning is probably translation platform that would process language and facilitate communication between somebody who doesn't know sign language and somebody who is deaf and who relies on sign language to communicate. That would be the ideal outcome, to create that interface between the deaf and the people with hearing to communicate just as naturally as we are doing right now.
What process did you use to identify and understand the needs of the deaf community in Kenya?
I think understanding is that constant proximity with them, experiencing with them, hearing from them. The understanding comes over time. There are a few things I can say I understand, but there are more that I need to understand. The deaf community has got very unique challenges. The inability to hear excludes them from a lot, and that results to them forming their own community, which is sort of a closed club, because what they go through and how they experience life is unique to them, and they can't explain it to you because you can't experience it. Mm. There's this couple I know who met in college. There's a college for the deaf in Karen where they teach skills, things like plumbing, masonry, tailoring. Deaf people usually don't get married to people who can hear. They tend to marry from the deaf community. So this couple, they met in that college, they dated, and they are married, and they are deaf. And now they have a child, and the child is not deaf. Imagine the experience of being a child to deaf parents. That's something to think about. Or being deaf, which we can't imagine. Being a parent who can't hear your child crying, you can't hear your child's first words. It's a whole different life. We need to be more aware of such things. Once we notice them and we are alive to how they have to live, then we can make, you know, solutions for them, or we can invite them to tell us what they need. Working with them will definitely result in creating things that are actually useful for them.
What you've just said has put me in an entirely different perspective that I hadn't quite thought about ever. We just live our lives and, okay, this is normal for us, so we don't know what's normal for them. Just assume they just can't hear and that's it. But actually thinking about how they live life, how, what's normal for them, it's something, it's just something else.
Imagine not really knowing that it's raining outside because you can't hear the rain until you walk out and you don't know the sound of thunder. You can't hear a car approaching you. There's so many things that are different when you start to think about not having the ability to hear.
Say we assume that maybe they're in their special place, but we tend to forget that we are living in the same world with them. So whatever we experience on a normal day is what they also experience. So I think your project will be something impactful.
How do you feel your research will contribute to broaden the efforts that have been put in place to improve communication for the deaf community in Kenya?
I'm not offering a silver bullet for anything. All I can hope to achieve is to make their life less isolated, to make them connect more with what is happening around them. Talk to people who are not deaf. Maybe that is something that will enrich them. With all these things, digital, analog, whatever it may be, I hope that it makes them feel a bit more connected to the world that excludes them, either by design or by accident. I hope I can just offer something that would make them feel okay.
Now, away from the research project, let me say you're a musician, right? Like, you play the piano. How will you rate your playing skills? How good of a pianist are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm constantly trying to listen to different things, and when I get the chance, I practice. I learned piano just on my own by listening. I didn't go to music school. So that makes it hard for me to call myself a musician. Music is an outlet for me. Music is something I do to relax myself, just to enjoy it, to explore, because music is both a science and an art. Music is math. Music is many things. So it's a way to keep your mind fresh and to challenge you. So when you find something you've not had before and you like it, well, then you go to the piano and you go and discover. It's in between this chord and this chord. So what chords work with this? And then, you know, it's kind of discovery. That's what I do for fun and what I do to keep my mind challenged.
I'd say that's a really unique way of learning. It actually takes a lot to understand those notes and all. Could you say that was a factor in you deciding to work on this specific research project, working with the deaf?
Part of it, yes. Where I go to church, we have sign language interpreters, which now I recently joined them. And they translate everything, even the songs. And I noticed that when we sing some familiar songs, they sing along in sign language. And they have internalized what that song says to them. And sometimes it's like they don't need the interpreter because they know the song. But, you know, they are not able to experience the melodies and the harmonies and just the musicality of the song. That's a pretty difficult thing to translate into sign language. You know, you can try and communicate what the song is saying by enacting it, doing a sign language a bit more vigorously and embodying what the message of the music is.
Given the things you've achieved at this age, that's quite a lot. How is it that you've been able to achieve that? What has been your driving force?
I don't see myself as having overachieved anything. I've had my losses and my wins. Yeah, and maybe you're only focusing on the wins right now. There are many losses. You pick your battles. You know, you can't do everything, but there are things you can do better than others. There are things you can't do very well now that you can learn from. It's not following your heart like everyone says, but it's finding where you can find value and you can give value. It's that trade. If this research results into something that is useful to the deaf community, then I will have given something, but I will have also learned a lot and taken from them a lot of inspiration, and I will have understood a bit of what they have to go through.
Say we close it at that. That's the end of our interrogation today. It's been quite an informative and educative interview for me, and also I hope for the rest of the listeners out there. I hope that maybe have another one when the work is done, when you've finished your PhD and you have a complete view of what you wanted to do, and you know exactly how to address the issues that you wanted to address.
It's a dangling carrot. You never really figure it out, but you get to a point where you look back and you say, yeah, I have come a long way, but you never really finish. Maybe let's not wait to the end of the PhD. Maybe somewhere in between would be good.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And Yeah. See each other next time.